Welcome to the Brothers Chat podcast, where we discuss everything and anything football. I'm Tywo, your football maestro. I'm joined by my usual cohort, starting with Richard, who is subscribed to all things Bruno Fernandes. How you doing, my brother?
What's good, people?
Yeah. You got a Chelsea politician in Boaz. What are you saying, my guy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, thanks.
Good to hear. We've got hashtag Oli in. What are you saying, Paul?
I'm good, bro. You good?
Yeah, all good here. We got the Arsenal realist in Manny. What are you saying?
Good to be back, guys. Good to be back.
Yeah. We've got the Spurs representative in George. Welcome back, my guy.
Thank you for having me back, man. Yeah, thank you for having me back. You always seem to get me when it's bad week for
me. Right, there's no way. There's nothing I can really do about that, man. It is what it is, but we move. We got Abdi, who is the Chelsea activist. What are you saying, man?
Very happy to be back here, bro.
Good to have you on. And we've got PJ, who is another Arsenal fan. Or would you prefer PJ, Jay? I know you've got a lot of aliases, so you can pick one for today. I don't know.
I feel like we should go with PJ today. Let's go original, just like the way that I'm going with my original team, Arsenal, today. No shamelessness.
No shamelessness, FC. But we will start with everyone's favourite team to laugh at, Arsenal, who crashed out of the Europa League in spectacular fashion. I mean, I've listened to Arsenal fans blame the players, the manager, their owners. So before we get into the West Brom game, we'll wind it back to Thursday night. It was Arsenal v Villarreal, where Arsenal needed to score one goal to go through, but to no avail. So, PJ, can you please explain to me how and where it went wrong for Arsenal on Thursday night?
So I think it went wrong on Thursday night, but the way it actually started was it went wrong the week before that. It was just, I don't know, I just don't understand. Sometimes it's to do with the lineup that essentially comes out, and the lineup a lot of the time doesn't make sense, especially when you've got a manager who's inexperienced. You stick to what you know, especially with a group of young players that are trying to come through. You stick to what you know, and as we saw in both legs, he tried to experiment. Players playing like a false nine, like Emil Smith Rowe, who's never played at false nine before, playing him at false nine, obviously that's not going to work. And then the next time he tried to actually stick two free Roman eights next to Partey, and obviously Partey across his whole career has never really played as a lone six. So that didn't work as well. And, you know, I feel like we did get slightly unlucky. Aubameyang did hit the post a couple of times. But it was just down to personnel and the fact that, you know, he insisted on playing Xhaka left back, which really wasn't going to work. You either play a right footed fullback who actually knows how to play fullback as a fullback, or you stick Bukayo Saka there, which he's done before. And Arteta, I feel like he has a huge ego problem, so he always wants to be right. So I feel like him and his ego really got in the way of us progressing. And, you know, at the end of the day, he has to answer for that.
Yeah. Manny, I mean, do you concur? Do you feel as if team formations are wrong, players playing out of position, just Arteta just overcomplicating it? Like PJ mentioned, it effectively playing Emil Smith Rowe as a false nine when you had three recognised centre forwards in the first leg on the bench. I mean, what happened from your perspective? Where do you start?
If I'm honest with you, I'm not actually bothered.
Where's your mind at now? I know you've been called a pessimist and then that became a realist. Like where you at right now? Is it almost contempt?
People want to call realism pessimism. It's not. It's just, you have to look at Arsenal and not, Arsenal are no longer a top 16. They're a top 10 team at best. And I've been screaming it for a while. They need one season with no Europe, at least one season with no European football. actually address their issues, because every year you've got European football, you think we're not as bad as, you know, we're not as bad as people make out. I think what happened against Villarreal away from home was always going to happen, shambles, because Arteta doesn't know how, I don't think he knows how to approach those games. And, you know, he picks the, PJ said it picked the wrong team. For me, players haven't lived up to expectation. You know, everyone was screaming, you need Partey, we got Partey, Partey's absolutely shit. He doesn't know what he's doing. We've got Cedric Suarez on the bench when he should be playing left back and pushing Shaka into centre mid. Playing a Will Smith Rowe number 9, I just don't understand it. It doesn't work. Willian's a bum. Just does nothing for the team. It's just all the shambles to mention. It's all jiffy jaffy, man. No one knows what they're supposed to be doing. And then come the second leg, and I thought, this guy, you know, if you're intelligent, just look at when we played the AC Milan in the Champions League a few years ago. We lost the first leg. Arsene Wenger just put all the attacking players on from the get-go in the second leg. Didn't care. You're already losing, so why not just, you know, just go out swinging if you're going to go out? And we didn't even do that. You're playing Lacazette on the bench, then you take off Aubameyang to bring Lacazette on. Just doesn't make any sense.
I couldn't believe that. Right after he get the post as well. I couldn't believe it. Effectively, for me, when I was looking at it, I was like, the game's over. Like, the game's over. So what was he thinking? I don't really get it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, because if anything, like, I would have started with Lacazette, Aubameyang, Pepe. I would have slotted in Saka there. Actually, I probably would have just started with Lacazette, Aubameyang, and Saka. And I would have approached it differently. He just went, I think Arteta was just playing safe, and it's very stupid to play safe. You know, Tierney was on the bench from the get. Tierney came in, I would have started him. Why not? He's been our most influential player coming down that left-hand side. He was just playing it safe, and he didn't actually go for the game. The thing is, if you started with Lacazette and Aubameyang together, a goal would have come. Somehow, some way, a goal would have come, because, you know, those two are a threat. We would have scored. And yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not really bothered. Like, I think I said it, we were going to go out. And we've gone out, and yeah, so, you know, like, all the talking that Arteta's doing is just hot air at the moment. I just need to see what they do with this season with no Europe, because every team who, you know, Chelsea had no Europe for a season, they bounced back. Liverpool had no Europe for a few seasons and they've used it to build. I want to see what Arsenal do now, because now they really need to sort themselves out. So yeah, for me, I just see how it goes. But Arsenal aren't a big club. It's all, you know, they're just going off history. Not a top six club, top 10 at best. And yeah, like, they need a massive clear out this summer. Need a massive clear out.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack. I'll try and get a subjective opinion. Actually, I'll start with Jules. That's not really subjective. You're on the outside looking in as a Tottenham fan. I'm sure you're eulogizing over there, but from what you saw on Thursday night and just the whole reaction and everything that's going on in and around Arsenal, what do you think?
I mean, I've been loving it. I sort of thought this as well. I was telling Arsenal fans from before the tie, I said, you know, Emery's, he's Arteta's uncle, man. Like, he's going to teach him a lesson. And that's what he done. He done it in the first leg. He showed him, he played it. Outplayed him tactically. Second leg, he knew what he needed to go there and do. He didn't need to go there and win. Had his team playing on the counter. It could have went either way. Arsenal missed a few big chances, but it's nothing that I didn't expect. This is all good to me. I'm Arteta in. Keep Willian, keep Aubameyang. These are star players, man. They're gonna be good for you in the future. And you just need to just keep working at it, because the new top 8, top 10, as you said, Manny, I think that's your level. And you're going to have to work through that for a couple of seasons because your team's...
Don't get twisted, bro. It's your level as well.
Nah, your team...
It's your level as well. It's your level, it's your level as well, guy. Like,
do you know what it is? Yeah?
Do you know what it is? Tottenham fans, let me not... Tottenham fans, yeah. You guys, okay, so this is your best team, your golden generation.
I've heard it all before, but
you guys are still at our level. We're still, you know,
I don't
know. We are, bro, come on. Okay, you're above, you're doing well, but you've been out of Europe before. You haven't won a trophy and you're doing better than us. Then that means you're even worse than us.
This is the thing that you need to realise, yeah, is... The level that Arsenal have been at over the past few seasons and the way that your board is even settled in for this, like you've finished eighth last season. You're looking to finish below that this season. Tottenham haven't finished outside the top six for 13 years.
Like, okay, but what has that achieved?
So what we've been doing.
What has that achieved?
The fact that Mourinho got sacked is because we have an expectation of finishing top four. Arsenal don't even have that expectation no more. You win an FA Cup and you're going backwards.
But what have you guys won?
Because an FA Cup, dude, the thing is, because the FA Cup makes the fans happy, but you cannot see that your club has gone backwards over the past 5 years.
But you haven't moved forward then. You haven't played no Champions League. You finished below. We haven't, but we know that. But you guys haven't moved forward. Tottenham haven't moved forward then. If we've gone back, you haven't moved forward. What you haven't? What have you won? Getting Champions League is a trophy for you now then.
I don't even want to make this a Tottenham.
You haven't won.
You haven't won.
Tottenham haven't won anything.
I know Arsenal fans just can't. They get triggered. So
no, I'm not triggered, bro. But I'm stating facts. What have Tottenham won if they're doing so well? They haven't won anything. Tottenham haven't won anything.
Guys, mid-table clash over. I'll move on. I'll digress. Richard, what's your take?
Well, this is from a Man United point of view. I think most United fans are kind of glad that we're not playing Arsenal in the final. I feel like they would have had more chance. If we were to lose to anyone, our Villarreal or Arsenal, then there's more chance it would have been Arsenal, to be fair. But
I'll be humble now, Richard.
Hey, Richard, talk for yourself as well, bro.
I'm saying you don't speak for me, bro. I don't care who it was, Arsenal, Villarreal.
But I think most fans obviously went in the United Arsenal final, to be fair. But I honestly did not expect it. As the time was ticking, everybody was kind of thinking that, you know what, Arsenal might just get a late goal in it and then win 1-0. Yeah. But it just weren't meant to be. Which is shocking, to be fair. So I honestly don't know how Arsenal fans feel after that. Because I felt like, that was their chance, that was their ticket to get into the Champions League, obviously. But it just doesn't seem like they cared to be fair, I feel like they kind of settled for where they are right now. But they honestly,
the Arsenal fans, are you settling for where you are, PJ, Manny, because you sound a bit content, but.
Manny's not content. Manny's just accepting. I'm just accepting the fact that there's no investment. Look how long it took to sign Flipping Partey. There's no investment. You're giving Willian a 3-year contract. There's no investment. Me, I don't care. Like I just Arsenal are Arsenal. They don't pay me. I don't pay them. So I'm not really bothered. They could go bust for all I care at the moment because they're not actually doing anything. So
serious, the supporters that are coming all over the place.
Why should I bother myself? Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to cry over Arsenal until they start investing and look at themselves and actually see they have a problem. Then what's the fans screaming and the fans protesting isn't going to change anything. That's what people don't understand. These owners have their own agenda.
Yeah, I mean we'll move across the west side of London. Abdi, what's your take on all things Arsenal at this present moment in time?
Oh, where do I start, man? Honestly,
try and keep it neutral. I know it's difficult for you.
Yeah, all right, cool. To be honest, the game was done in the first leg for me. Villarreal was the much more superior team in that first leg. Again, Unai Emery is the manager known to have won the Europa League for a few seasons with Sevilla. And he just showed this class and his tactics worked a lot better than Arteta. So Second leg came. He had only one job, and that's not to concede. He did that very brilliantly over the course of 90 minutes. So fair play to Unai Emery in regards to Arsenal. Aside from the Aubameyang chances here in the post, but then to get stopped off by Lacazette, just shows you that Arteta and his way of thinking in terms of subs has been very shambolic. You shouldn't have done that in a game where they needed only one goal to score. So I don't know what's going to be for Arsenal for the rest of the season, let alone next season. But there'll be a lot to clear out. Like Manny said, they need to do a lot of selling. A lot of players need to leave that club.
Oh yeah, PJ, do you trust Arteta with the transfer window?
No, I don't, because
you've seen
it's like when you actually look at the players that we have coming back on loan and whatnot. So we have Guendouzi coming back. I don't think Arteta was able to get any good out of Guendouzi, and it's undeniable that Guendouzi is a talented player. But I don't think Arteta is going to be able to get anything good out of him. And then you've got Torreira. Torreira doesn't particularly look like he wants to stay in London. He looks like he wants to go back home to be close to his family. But even with that, Torreira's been a disappointment at the Emirates. But then again, even under Arteta coming in, players are meant to get a new lease of life. And, you know, it didn't happen. And then you look at Saliba, who's meant to be one of the most promising young centre-backs. You look at his boy, Fofana, who's shining in the Premier League. And if you actually looked at the players that Saliba actually played next to, I think when Fofana and Saliba were playing next to each other, Saliba was actually the leader of that. He was actually arguably the better defender in that. And, you know, you look at it now in the Premier League, Fofana's thriving. Saliba had to go back on loan. And it wasn't even like he was given a look in. I'm not sure how many Arsenal fans actually watched. There was one pre-season game that I actually saw him play in. And he actually looked decent there. He looked good. He looked like he could play out from the back. He was explosive on the ball. And he was quite positionally aware, like good characteristics for a centre-back. And he just wasn't put into the squad. So it just shows like we have the talent there. And then you look at Willock now. I'm not saying that Arsenal is Willock's level or whatnot, but look at what Willock has done. Like he's gone on loan to Newcastle. He's playing in the position that he wants to play in, and he's thriving. He's doing his thing. He's popping up with goals. He scored more goals than the whole Arsenal midfield. I mean, you look at Partey, a top player like Partey. He's come to the Emirates now, and he looks bang average. He looks like James Ward-Prowse has probably been a better midfielder than Partey this season. That's how bad it is. He looks bang average.
I think about him.
Like, yeah, exactly. It's embarrassing that the whole song and dance that they made about him, and he's just come in and he's looked like, yeah. So
I feel like, sorry to cut you there, but I feel like you man thought that Partey was gonna solve your problem in the midfield, but if your team and your players around that midfield are not playing well, you can't expect him to come in and play well when the whole team is not playing well. So I feel like,
yeah.
You know, it kind of makes sense that he's not playing to the level that we all know what he's capable of doing, you know? So
a lot was expected of him way too soon. Yeah. And I said it before he signed, like, don't expect miracles, because this guy is coming from, like, he's coming from what, La Liga. Arsenal's midfield is an absolute shambles. They, like, who's the leader in that midfield? Who's the leader in Arsenal's midfield? Like, it's not, like, we don't have a leader in that midfield. And that's where the problem lies, like, He's coming, like PJ said, he's bang average, looking bang average, like a terrible signing. But yeah, I think I agree with PJ. I wouldn't trust. I don't even think it's Arteta who's in charge of the signings. That's what annoys me the most. But I guess he's had one and a half transfer windows. Give him another one, see what they bring in. Because now everyone's saying they're spending money this summer. Let's see what money they have to spend, because I don't know how a club like Arsenal, for how many seasons now, can be saying they don't have any money. It's a bit embarrassing. It's pitiful. It's so poor. Hence why you aren't a big club. Like Leicester go out and spend more money than Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit shocking.
It's showing more ambition on their part. But Paul, I know you've been very vocal on Arteta in the past. Do you concur with these guys? Do you feel that he's not good enough to be given a transfer window because he hasn't gotten the best out of the players he's had at his disposal?
Bro, I've been saying Arteta's a fraud, bro. He's a shit manager.
You've been consistent with it.
All these Arsenal fans, they got gassed over the FA Cup, but where did they finish last year? And where are they going to finish this year? Like, I keep saying to Arsenal fans, they say, oh, he has a project. Bro, Arsenal do not have the 10th worst squad in the league. Why are they 10th? Are Villarreal better than them? No. Why did they lose to them? Like, it's clearly the manager. And until they change him, I think they're going to stay where they are, to be honest.
Yeah, so simply put, he's just not getting the best out of the players that he has.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Well, as I know, you always have kind words to say on Arsenal. So, please.
I'll keep it short, but I don't know why tonight this is breaking news, but this has been happening for a while. And I don't know, I just think that, okay, yeah, they dropped out of Europe. And yeah, this is probably going to be good for them as it allows them to kind of rebuild. But I didn't think I'd say this, but I think it's actually bad for football, like the Premier League football anyway. I think you kind of want the Premier League to be competitive. You want there to be kind of like challenging teams. And I think it was kind of good that there were kind of like six big teams kind of challenging in some shape or form for the title. So it's a shame that it looks like it may just be, I don't know, like three top teams. But yeah, I don't know. We kind of thought that Partey was going to be like the savior of Arsenal, or some Arsenal fans did anyway. But yeah, you can't rest the laurels of a whole team on like one person. Obviously, he's had his injury problems and they've been kind of like short of depth. So he's kind of been rushed back and stuff, and he's had a start-stop season. So he wasn't obviously going to like hit the ground running. But yeah, this has been happening at Arsenal for a while. So it's not breaking news. They're given a lifeline to be in Europe anyway from winning the FA Cup. So it's about time they kind of like had a good hard look at themselves and rebuild from here.
Yeah. We'll go to the Premier League side of things and we'll take a few positives. Obviously, Arsenal beat West Brom 3-1, effectively relegating them Premier League back into the Championship. PJ, did you watch the match?
Yeah, I watched it like almost to the side a little bit because, you know, it was a bit of a dead rubber match for us, to be honest. There's nothing, there was nothing in it. And I was a bit annoyed that I didn't see Balogun starting again. And I also wasn't even on the bench. And also Reece Nelson, I saw him turn up to the Emirates Stadium, but he wasn't on the bench either. So I was just...
Why isn't he playing his kids? Because... You've said it. It's a dead rubber. You're not playing for anything. Wouldn't this be the time where he can play the youth and just try something different?
But deep it, Reece Nelson isn't good enough.
I get that, man. But it's just, what are you playing for? What? I mean, it's not as if you can't afford not to play Reece Nelson. Okay, the deep him not good enough, but he hasn't played games for Arsenal this season.
The only player I want to see is Balogun, because I think he's got more potential than Nketiah, but. For some reason, Arteta's just stubborn. Again, like PJ said with Saliba, he's stubborn. I saw Saliba play against MK Dons in pre-season. Yes, it's MK Dons in pre-season, but he looked an actual player. Do you know what I mean? In a season where he could have been playing in Europa League, like freeing up players to play Prem, like just stupid decisions. I think the manager just gets it wrong. I think he's just too stubborn, too arrogant. You know, for a first-time manager, you shouldn't actually be that arrogant. You should actually, you know, embrace the young players. Because like you said, Saliba was the senior partner with him when it was him and Fofana, and Fofana's flourished in the Prem. I think the manager's just stubborn when it comes to young players. Like, Reece Nelson, I don't think is good enough. He's had loads of chances, not this season, but last season, season before that, where he was getting games. Hasn't done it. Saka came in, took his chance, stays. Smith Rowe came in, took his chance, stays. What's his name? Udegaard. To come in on loan. Quality player, technically gifted. Obviously, he's going to stay. Balogun's the only one that I'm upset hasn't played. But this is another thing you say. What can, like, Arsenal don't listen. They're their worst. They're their own worst enemy. So what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, last parting word on Arsenal. Do you think Arteta makes it past next season?
Say that again.
Do you think Arteta makes it through next season? He's going to be manager.
If they back him in the transfer market this summer, if they back him and he actually gets his own players and they have a very poor start, I think it's only fair that he goes. There's some quality managers out there at the moment, and we've messed up before where we kept Wenger on for way too long. We missed up the likes of Jurgen Klopp, who I think could have had an impact at Arsenal. So yeah, if they start very poorly, come December, he could be gone. But, you know, we know for a fact that he's staying, and they're saying they're going to back him. So let's see what backing they give him.
Yeah. Do you feel the same, PJ?
Yeah, I feel like if he goes into next season as manager, then you might as well back him to at least December.
That's December.
Yeah, I feel like until December. And I feel like if he's in those, at least the Europa League spots by that time, he'll get the backing until the end of the season, and then I guess they'll reevaluate when they get to the end of the season. But yeah, I feel like back him now, and then if the results still persist, then it will just be clear for everyone to see he's not cut out to be an Arsenal manager, and then there won't be any excuses of, oh, it wasn't his team, he didn't have enough transfer windows. So yeah, I feel like give him a little bit of time and see what happens.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, that's enough obligatory talk on Arsenal. We'll move on to the next match, which you could say was a dress rehearsal for the Champions League final in a few weeks. It was Manchester City versus Chelsea. Chelsea running away 2-1 winners. Before we get into the match itself, we'll discuss the obvious talking point, which I'm sure Abney wants to talk about, the potential red card on Raheem Sterling. So yeah, Abney, I'll ask you, seeing as how I quoted you, was Sterling lucky to stay on the pitch?
If I'm honest with you, had another referee would have been on the pitch, it could have gone the other way. So I believe he was very lucky for the tackle on Werner to not see red in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, what do you think? Out of control, studs up. I guess
it was kind of raining, so I wouldn't blame slippery surfaces alone, but I feel like he lost the ball through Kante. He tried to get it back as quick as possible, and he launched in a tackle where, in that situation, a lot of referees would have given a red card for the way he walked in with the two legs in. And, you know, another referee would have been refereeing that game. He could have gone the other way.
Yeah. What do you think, guys? Do you feel as if Sterling should have been shown the red card, or that would have been too harsh?
Yeah, like, it's subjective. Like, I've heard a lot of people's views on it, and some don't think it was a foul at all or not a bookable offence. Some think it's red. For me, I can see either way.
What do you think?
You know what? It was at the beginning of the game, so I think a yellow was fair. Obviously, I would have liked to see a red, and I think it could have deserved a red, depending on the ref. But if I was, like, the ref on the day, that early in the game, I probably would have given it a yellow. But what I would say is VAR had a really good game.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of talking points. Like, you could argue, like, you know, the penalties and stuff. But VAR had a good game. The ref had a good game.
1 point to VAR. But the match itself, what did you think of the game?
So, yeah, like, I think the first half, Man City had a really good half. And I think they performed well, and they could have been 2-0 up. Obviously, yeah, the foul by Raheem Sterling was a talking point, and then Gilmore made a clumsy attempt in the box, which could have gone either way. But yeah, it was a penalty, which was missed. I think Aguero probably should have had a better game. Obviously, he didn't score the chance which Raheem Sterling scored instead. And
you know, sorry, before we go into that, guys, I'll open this up to everyone in the forum. Can we just talk about Aguero's Panenka miss, guys? What was your reaction to that miss?
This guy's a fool. He's just come back from injury. He just got his first start in a while in a big game against Chelsea, and he's doing stuff like that. He's an absolute idiot. And then did you see when he had a word with Sterling because he took his
shot all over the place. Yeah.
He's just looked so desperate to have that spotlight on himself, man.
Look, but if he scored, everyone will be saying, "Ah, what a great penalty." Like, it goes either way. Like, and the way I see it is, sometimes you just got to try it.
No, but in my opinion, bro, yeah, in a 1-0 game where your team is already winning 1-0, yeah, I don't think a PK would have been the most suitable penalty kick to be doing.
Abdi, people have done that in high-pressure situations.
In terms of Aguero itself, he obviously missed the chance to score himself. So he wanted to do something special to try and be like, oh, wow, look at me. Yeah, I've scored a Panenka. Wow, well done. But had Sterling never scored that and he tried to score, obviously he messed it up. But if he scored that, it would have been a different story. Then I would understand why he would try the Panenka. But he hasn't done nothing much prior to the penalty kick for him to be trying to do that in the first place. I feel like in terms of decision making, it was poor. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just feel as if he telegraphed it. Like, he made it way too easy for Mendy to anticipate. Like, at least if he were to do that, just, you know.
I don't know. Try
and fool the keeper, but yeah.
I don't even think he needs to apologise. Like, obviously, he came out after the game and apologised to the fans.
No way.
I don't think he needs to do that.
No, not to City fans, anyways.
Aguero? Like, Big Mighty Aguero? Nah, he doesn't need to apologise for anything.
Like, no, and I think, obviously, he gets stick because Man City lost the game in the end, but like if they ended up winning the game, nobody would really be talking about it. And I think as strikers, like sometimes you got to do things. And I guess Man City had the benefit of the fact that they had three chances to win it, and also they also rely on like Man United having to win all their games. So like it's all in their court, to be honest. And it's Aguero's last season as well. Yeah. Like, He wants to leave on a shine, and that could have been it. It didn't work out, but if it did, we'll all be talking about what a great penalty.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll move back to the game. And before I go to Abdi, I'll try and get another subjective opinion on the match. Richard, from what you saw, what did you think of the game from a Chelsea side?
Oh, Richard. He's going to say some terrible things, isn't he?
What makes you think I'm going to say bad things?
Come on.
Pardon?
What makes you think I'm going to say bad things?
You're missed on popular opinion. That's just who you are.
fair enough.
Well, I'm wrong.
Well, first of all, about the PK, about Aguero's penalty kick, he literally... His thought was, yeah, you know what, he wants to win this league in style, innit? It's his last season, innit? And obviously, he wanted to wrap up this league title in style. So it was a bit obvious. I think Mendy kind of read it anyway. He thought, you know what, he's just going to try something stylish. So, fair enough. But Chelsea, this game really didn't mean much. As in a dress rehearsal towards the final.
Didn't mean much in what sense?
As in, I don't think Pep was like, he's not really trying to give away too much for the final. He's obviously got the final in his mind, thinking, all right, I'm not going to give away too much. So,
yeah, I see that. But would you not argue that he wants to wrap up the league as quickly as possible so he can concentrate on the final? Yes, I know he ran a lot of changes, but I mean, don't you think that?
Well, he knows he's going to win it, but I don't feel like he would want to try to win it against Chelsea, knowing that he's got to play them in the final.
He did try to win it though.
Yep.
He even changed up his tactics. He played a back three, which were directly chosen to balance out Chelsea, like Ake and Mendy on the right to kind of balance out. James and who played on the right as well? I can't remember. But that was obviously chosen because of like James' strengths. So you can't say that he didn't try to win the game.
The last 5 minutes, well, I could tell by the last 5 minutes of that game, he was like, let's try to win it, because obviously Pep doesn't like to lose any game.
But, he tried to win it for the whole game, Richards.
But I'm telling you, when I saw that team sheet, obviously he's resting players still, but I'm like, he's not really about to resting players. If City never had a Champions League final, he would have played his best team. But I mean, how many games did City have until that final? So he's not going to.
Yeah, Chelsea have more games. Chelsea have an FA Cup final as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Let me try and get a different voice. Paul, do you think Pep was trying to win the game, or do you feel as if he just had a Champions League in his mind and kind of put this game to the back burner?
No, I kind of agree with Richard, where I think this game, I think he went with a 5 just to test how it would work in the Champions League final, because a lot of teams face Chelsea and they go with that 3 at the back. So I think he's played it to see how it will work. And to Diesel's point, he did try and win the game. Probably should have won the game. But yeah, the missed penalty. Even Sterling, again, should have had a penalty. On another day, they would have won, but unluckily they lost. So.
Should we talk about that then?
Was it not a pen?
See, the ref didn't give it, so it's not a pen.
I'm asking you, what do you think it was a pen?
Doesn't mean it should have been a penalty.
Bro, he stopped him from shooting.
So, like, I agree with VAR. I don't think there was enough there to, like, overrule that decision. Obviously, contact was made.
He's kicked him about 3 times.
He didn't actually kick him. He just made contact.
For once, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Guys, think about it, right? When you're running, like, I don't think he was intentionally kneeing him. He was just running behind him.
A lot of players don't intentionally knee foul players.
But he still made contact.
I know, but Sterling went down easily.
Doesn't matter. Still make contact. Players go down easily in this day and age of football.
I know, but then it comes down to the referee to decide, is that enough to give a penalty or is it not? He decided himself. He was looking at the incident and he told Sterling to get up. So I understand why VAR said there's not enough there to overrule that decision. The decision was made by the referee.
Did you feel that was a penalty?
Look, football's all about swings and roundabouts, right? I personally...
Why is the politician, folks?
I said it wasn't a red for Sterling. I would have given a yellow. On this particular decision, I wouldn't have given a penalty because I think he actually went down too easily.
I don't think so. I think he didn't have anything to do. Like, he's taken his legs, so he's gone down. Like, I think that's the only thing.
He didn't take his legs, though.
He did. He took his legs.
Well, at the end of the day, it wasn't a penalty. And then they didn't score afterwards. But
is anyone here inclined to agree with Boaz, or do they feel differently? Whose name isn't Boaz?
Bro, if I'm honest with you, yeah, there was contact in it. Again, like I said to you guys, had another ref been playing, it would have been probably a penalty in it. It all depends on the referee point that he made.
Do you think it's objective?
It depends on the ref, because we all know Anthony Taylor and his judgment on big call-out games where there's penalty involved or red cards involved, and he's not the one to make big, big, huge decision against the team having the penalties or the red card decisions towards them. So, again, another ref would have probably given that penalty. Me, personally, there was contact, but, yeah, I think it could have been a penalty for another ref.
Yeah.
We just got lucky. We just had the element of a bit of luckiness. I don't know how it wasn't given a penalty. But again, had another ref been playing the game, potentially it could have been a penalty.
Yeah, it just looks so clumsy. So I'm surprised that wasn't given. PJ, quick one, penalty or no penalty?
For me, it's a penalty. I can't lie, man. It's a penalty.
Yeah. George, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a pen, bro. No doubt in my mind. That's 100%.
I think it's pretty unanimous. So I think you're outmatched, Boaz, at this point.
But it doesn't. It doesn't fine. Actually. My opinion doesn't actually matter because the game's done and it wasn't a penalty.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We'll move on. So, as Chelsea fans like to keep reminding me, it's Tuchel 2, Pep 0 this season. Abdi, do you feel as if Tuchel has got Pep's number, or is it just another bad day in the office for Pep and Manchester City?
If I'm being honest with you, I wouldn't say Tuchel has Pep's number like that, but I feel like both of them was reluctant to not show their best cards in that game in the Premier League. I feel like a lot of it has to be down to obviously 1 mile into the Champions League final, hence why both teams were resting key players respectively. But in terms of tactically, you can see that in the second half, we completely bust out City. I feel like before the 1-0, it was an equal game before they scored through Sterling. Had the penalty scored, they would have been 2-0 and that would have been the game over for us. It wouldn't have been completely a change of a game. I don't think there'll be a way back up to 2-0 down to City. But yeah, okay, we came very strong on the second half. I was actually surprised of the level of intensity we had on the second half. You know, with the likes of Azpilicueta and Reece James busting the wings and to assist Ziyech's goal on the half volley, I feel like, you know, that kind of opened up the game a little bit more and gave a confidence for us to score the second. And we haven't stopped working for that second goal until the last minute of the game. So I feel like it's going to be an interesting final for sure when we have both teams at 100% capacity. And again, it'll be down to tactical. But at the moment, I feel like even though Pep hasn't played his best side, I still feel Tuchel has slightly the edge over him at the moment.
Yeah. Boaz, how do you foreshadow the Champions League final going based on recent results? Do you feel as if there's anything to go by, or do you feel if what everyone said there, trying to keep their cards close to their chest or not?
It's a hard game to kind of predict, and I think, yeah, maybe Rich is a little bit right in the sense of like this wasn't really a dress rehearsal, but I do think that both managers kind of used a few tactics to kind of figure out whether something would work or not, as Paul alluded to as well. I think as we discussed kind of before this, Chelsea are probably the underdogs in this match, but I think what you can't take away from Chelsea is we're hard to score against and we do create a lot of chances, albeit conversion rates aren't too great. But on a final, on a one day where winner takes all, I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea shock everybody and win. But more than likely, Man City might just win it.
Yeah. Well, do you think Man City will win it? Or is this Chelsea one?
Pep's starving. He's starving for that for that Champions League, so there's no doubt in my mind that City are going to win that. If Chelsea win it, it's going to be massive, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I think it's City's, man.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. But unless there's anything more to say on Chelsea, we will move on to the next game. Jules, I'm sure you'll love this one. It was Leeds v Spurs. Leeds beating Spurs by 3-1. Leeds showing the whole world why everyone loves to eulogise on for Bielsa ball, whether it's win, lose or draw. And I think the scoreline flattered to deceive because there could have been more. Or yours, do you feel differently?
No, I don't. As you said, Bielsa showed the world what he's about, and he showed people that for Ryan Mason's still a young boy too. I don't know if you guys even see, like, Bielsa's been in management longer than Ryan Mason's been in this earth. So it's like there's levels to the game, and I don't want to put too much blame on him. He's a young coach. He's just come in to do a job for the rest of the season, but he got a lot of things wrong with regards to the lineup. Ndombele, not he played the last 10 minutes. That's just horrible decision making.
Stinks of nepotism.
It's criminal, man. Because That's he's our best midfielder. It doesn't make much sense to me. Just throwing Dele Alli in that team above Lucas Moura, Lamela, any of the other players is criminal. He didn't have a good performance. I keep hearing these commentators say when he passed through to the offside goal as well as the first goal, they're going great pass. Dele Alli's having a fantastic game.
Mm.
He wasn't. The guy's just he floats around the pitch as per usual and doesn't bring much to the game. But yeah, it was just a bad game overall. From the first 10 minutes, you can tell Leeds were pressing us so high and we just couldn't deal with it. The sideways football, they started to revert back to what Jose taught us. It seems like they're still in that like auto mode right now where they just revert straight back to that when they don't know what to do. But yeah, no, Leeds just outclassed us all over the pitch. And as I said, it could have been more. We didn't really have much chances, but the referee's decision for that offside was absolutely shocking. I don't know about you guys, but it was shocking, man.
When they start drawing the lines, that's when you just have to change over because it's just absolutely...
It's funny because they get out the really thin lines and then they get out the big lines and then you can't even see yourself if it's over the line. And if he has a smaller boot, if he's a size 8 or size 7, he's not offside. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy how they do it, man.
Yeah. But going back to the game itself, PJ, did you catch the game?
Nah, because obviously we don't watch Spurs around here. But I did catch the highlights.
Yeah,
it was very. I saw some very swift playing moves. Something that Harry Kane wants to get used to at either United or Man City next season. So he was just spectating. And Dele Alli, I think he needs to realise that, bro, like, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. For like, just stick to your light skin, high top and that. Like, why is he trying to, like, channel his inner Alex Iwobi and them things there? Like, he's moving mad. But, yeah, it's nice.
Trying to find them locks, isn't it, to give him, to unlock his powers.
Yeah, man, he needs to relax, man. Like, he's moving mad. But, yeah, man, Tottenham, bang average team. And they, you know, it was nice to see Leeds absolutely expose them. And all this Ryan Mason talk about Ryan Mason is going to be that Ryan Mason is washed. Let's not do that, man.
Paul, are Tottenham a bang average team?
Yes.
Short answer.
From top to bottom, bang average. Yeah. Like they need a new keeper.
I would say from top to bottom, and we got the best striker in the world, the best winger in the world, like best winger in the league. Kane, don't do that, please.
Kane's not there next season,
and who else?
Son's not as good as you think he is.
Kieran Son is the best winger in the leagues. Don't tell me I'm not as good as I think he is.
He's not even better than Rashford.
Are you crazy? What? Rashford missed 9 goals this Premier League season. This guy's got double the amount of goals as he's got. Like, what are you on about? There's no way you can compare.
It's just not about goals.
And what else can you say about Son? Son does it in the big games. He does it in the Champions League. Like, what Rashford? Don't do that to yourself.
This year. Has Son been good this year?
Bale's got more goals than Rashford. What are you on about? Son's got 17 Premier League goals and 10 Premier League assists. He's got more goals than Bruno Fernandes. He's got one assist behind the guy. What are you on about? Like, he's competing with the best players in the league, not Rashford.
Guys, this is turning into a
song. But yeah,
let's try and stick to the game.
Tottenham, new back four, full back four.
No.
Probably keep regular, even though he's average. CMs. Change that as well. New winger, right winger as well. Bro, new manager.
That's half the team already, Paul.
Yeah, bro, that's about seven, eight new players.
That's 6-7 new players, mate. That's
So good luck to the next Tottenham manager, man.
That's essentially a rebuild, so. I mean, Richard, do you feel as if Tottenham is a rebuild job with Tottenham? Or can Gareth Bale save the day?
There has to be a rebuild done at Tottenham, to be fair. I would agree with Paul, like, they need to change at least 3 of that back four. But I think I still think that their hardest problem, Tottenham's hardest problem, is trying to keep their players, not trying to buy, not trying to rebuild, not trying to
improve them,
and improve the team and buy new players.
I feel like, you've got obvious names with Kane and Son. Do you see them? Do you envision them at Tottenham next season, or do you feel there's a big chance that if not one of them, both of them are leaving?
Nah, because they're top players, and they're attracting a lot of interest. I feel like a club like Tottenham holds back some of their best players. I feel like Son, people like Son, Kane, Lloris, they probably feel like, you know what, if we are left this team or we leave this team sooner rather than later, we could actually win something on club level. So, the club itself is holding it back because I feel like they're a couple steps ahead of the actual club itself. So I don't think there has to be a rebuild done, but I feel like they have to start from scratch. I feel like, you know what, they have to risk it and be like, you know what, let's sell Kane, let's sell some, because you know what, if we're doing a rebuild, these lot have to be part of it. But I don't feel like, yeah, they don't deserve to be part of this. They deserve a lot better.
Yeah. I can't lie, I look at Harry Kane and he just looks like his soul has left his body. He just looks so he's going through the motions. He's trying to look like he's doing the right thing, but you know when you can just tell that he's just not in it anymore. I don't know if it's just me, but I don't know, man. I feel as if his time is limited. I don't know if he'll push for a move or he'll push for a transfer, but I feel as if he's got to that point now, especially when Spurs lost that League Cup final. And he did that interview as well. I can't remember what he said, but you can just tell from his body language that he's just like, he's just not the same. So I don't know, Jules. I don't know if I'm capping in this, but
yeah. People said that last week, and I could see it maybe last week, but I felt that was because he kept missing all of his chances and just didn't have a great game. This week, he was looking good. I think he's just getting frustrated with not scoring, and maybe, yeah, like you said, the team's not performing. He probably is getting frustrated. The guy, as you said, he's probably better than the team. But at the end of the day, he himself hasn't done enough to get us, well, he's done enough to get us there, but in the final moments, it's not like he's won it for us. So he's part to blame too. He's not blame free. So you can't sit here and say he's better than the team and so on. Like, he's a part to blame it as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't think he's taken this Tottenham team as far as he can take them?
I don't. The thing is with that, you can't even say he bacon, because Son took us to the Champions League final. Harry Kane played one game. He played one leg against Dortmund. He played half a leg against City. He missed the Ajax leg. So he wasn't even there for any of the games anyway. So
yeah, I hear what you're saying, but obviously you don't feel he's been integral in where.
Of course. So if he does leave, like I said, I think it does present an option, just like when Liverpool sold Coutinho. If we sell him and reinvest him invest the money the right way, then we can get better. But I just don't, like Arsenal, I don't trust the board. I don't trust the managers to go out and invest the money right. We've done it with Bale before. I don't see it happening to get loads of good players. It just end up being rubbish.
Yeah, fair enough. Abdi, Harry Kane's next season?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I want him to stay in London, so I'd love to
see.
But listen, if you look at this Chelsea team right now, they are crying for a centre forward that is proven in the Premier League that can at least guarantee you 15 to 20 goals a season, and that is Harry Kane. So I
wouldn't, you stay away from Harry Kane and you focus on the
captain. I wouldn't be surprised if either City United kind of drop short on Kane and he ends up at Chelsea, but whatever club he goes at, I feel like he's well suited for City as much as he is at United and for Chelsea too. Yeah, I mean, he's a world class striker and you can't deny his ability to finish and score goals. So whatever club he ends up, he will be a very, very good signing.
Yeah. Paul McCain look good in red.
But it's not gonna happen, so there's no point dreaming.
Crazy things have happened.
But we're not. Would you pay 150 for Kane?
No, because then we'll be able to. We wouldn't have any money to buy a young glove.
Yeah, let's get Sancho. Happy days.
Yeah, man. Why not?
I would have splashed 150 million, Kane.
You say you would, Richard?
I would have a couple of weeks ago.
But, what changed?
Edison Cavani.
Hey, I hear you. Good stopgap. Gives us a chance to focus on other areas of the pitch, at least for one more season. I hear what you are saying. Speaking of Edison Cavani, we'll move on to the next game. It was Aston Villa v Manchester United. Manchester United running away 3-1 winners. Man United started the game reasonably well. Villa taking the lead against the run of play before United doing what they do best. If you've watched them this season, Bruno Fernandes, Cavani, and Starboy Mason Greenwood, who, fun fact, overtook Wayne Rooney to score the most Premier League goals for Man United as a teenager. So they all got on the score sheet as United stage yet another comeback. Richard, I'll stay on you. What did you think of the game from what you saw?
Yeah, you know what? We're all about second halves. I feel like some of the times...
Second half, SC?
You'll have to say that. I feel like with our games, you can't jump to conclusions when we have a first half or we have a bad first half. You can't really judge. You can't. Because we play two different ways in first halves and second halves. I was not worried. I wasn't panicking or nervous about our first half when we go down. These things happen way too often. So it's like, the first half, obviously, there are obviously areas in our team which we need to address, because where we leak goals, those are the positions where we actually need to improve on and in the transfer window. So it's clear as day. So
Lindelof exemplified that. Even though Lindelof's had a semi-decent season, you can see today that maybe not necessarily the defender you can rely upon for the course of a season.
Yeah, I would. And some people would say, oh, why do Man United concede goals? Why do we have to concede a goal in order for us to play better? I feel like sometimes we concede goals and it's just proof to our negotiators that the way we lead goals, those are the positions that we need to improve on. So Lindelof today, McFred, yeah, we need to improve it.
Let's not get started on McFred. Please, I can't deal with McFred. But yeah, Paul, when you if you're moving on from certain areas and you go back to the game itself, what did you think of it?
I can't lie, I missed the first half. Thank God for that. But
wasn't that bad?
Yeah, no, but we was losing, so you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, coming second half, I think it was really good. Like, we was on the passing. I think that's one thing that's really improved, like, over the weeks, that we was passing it with intent. Like, it was quick, like, triangles. Like, we was creating chances, and luckily Luis made a dumb decision for that penalty.
So stupid.
Bruno was always going to score, and then Greenwood just turned Mings like he wasn't even there, and 2-1.
Can we call out Mings, please? Because certain people are saying Mings is Aston Villa's best defender and they're sleeping on Konsa. Can people just admit that Konsa is Aston Villa's best defender?
Yeah, he was huge today. I'm not going to lie to you, bro. He was...
Say that again?
He was huge today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he had a very good season overall, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised. Well, we never know in the Euros, but I would like to see him in the Euros somehow, but knowing Southgate, you know, I don't think he might even get a look at. It's a shame, but, you know, summer's around the corner, you know, potential transfer. You never know. He's definitely on the lookout for centre-backs, potentially at a different club. He could be massive.
You see him at a big club, though?
I could see him at Tottenham. replacing
Everton.
Thank you, Evan Jones.
Man, that guy's dead food. He ain't coming to us.
You know
what you say? Cons is dead food.
Oh, wait, it's Dyer. I thought you said Mings. Oh, no.
Konza, man. But yeah, Should we go back to the Man United side of things? Okay, so Man United had a good game. Ollie and Manchester United going from stride to stride, effectively solidifying top four. It's guided us to a final. He's trying to get first trophy. Do you feel as if Ollie, and this is an open question, gets unfair criticism?
No.
Do you feel it's warranted? Criticism.
Every manager has their critics, right? Like, no manager is perfect. Like, you could criticize Pep for over rotation. You could criticize Tuchel for being too pragmatic. By the end of the day, you got to face those criticisms. Obviously, Man United have improved. They're an improved outfit from the very beginning of the season. But at the end of the day, like, where Man United fans are saying, oh, we're comeback kings, or are saying, we're better in the second half. The fact of the matter is, it means that you're poor in the first half, or it means that you're leaking goals, or there are issues. So that's true, and everyone can see it.
How are the issues if we still win those games?
Because at the end of the day, you're losing 1-0 to Aston Villa in the first half. But all I'm saying is, it's all well and good that you ended up winning the game. Like, congratulations. But at the end of the day, you put yourselves in that situation.
Do you feel as if that can be attributed to Ollie? Because you used the Aston Villa game as an example. But like I mentioned earlier, Aston Villa scored against the run of play. It was effectively a Lindelof error that led to that first goal. So is that criticism that should be warranted or thrown at Ollie? Or is that something that you should look at the players?
Well, I used the example as we were talking about this match, but this has been a consistent issue of Man United this whole season. Like, I could pick out so many games where you could see the first goal and you're losing at halftime. And yeah, you come out and you draw at the end of the day, or you win. But you put yourself in that situation. And okay, cool, you could blame individuals for errors, etc. But if this is happening consistently, then you need to ask the question, how do you address these situations?
To counter that, it happens consistently, and we come back and win. So is it really an issue? In the long term, I understand it will be, but right now, I'm not too sure it is. I think next season, this stuff like this would not be happening. But this season, I think that's our team. It's gonna happen.
But if you don't have a player like Cavani, will you be able to come back in the end? Like, Cavani has saved you so many times.
Saved us. Pogba saved us. Bruno saved us. Rashford saved us. Come on, man. Let's be smart here.
Yeah, but then I think you have to applaud Ollie for his tactics, then knowing when to bring on someone like Cavani on.
Says the one that complains that he doesn't make substitutions.
Richard, sorry.
He didn't. There's been certain instances that he hasn't.
I was saying today at 1-0 that Ole needs to bring on Cavani. I don't think at this point, like, the whole game was staying up for a striker to be attacking Villa's defense. If you look at the game in the first half, naturally Rashford and Greenwood went to the left and went to the right. So there wasn't any striker presence in the defense. That's why I called it. If you had a striker from the first half, potentially the score could have been different. And when Cavani came on, all of a sudden, you know, game started changing.
But Abdi, we as fans were always going to say he should put on this person. It happened against Roma. Yeah. Everyone at halftime was saying, oh, he's got, I think, bring on Greenwood, bro. We changed the game, we won 6-2. Today, everyone's saying again, bring on Cavani. By the time Cavani came on, we was winning 2-1.
Game was already won.
Very true.
But yeah, that's the thing. I was going to say, like, a lot of these, I know you're not saying, oh yeah, we need to address issues that we're always going to go down and that. But I don't think you realise that sometimes, when the opponent team goes in at halftime, knowing that they'll go up, that the manager might say, "Oh yeah, keep it the same." I feel like that gives a Man United advantage, knowing that the team has got like a false sense of confidence, thinking that, you know what, we'll go up. United just profit off it, and I feel like that's pretty good. That's very good tactically from Ollie. To be fair,
yeah. I mean, PG, I'll go to you.
Tactics.
Well, yeah, it is tactics.
That's PG, I'll go. Hold on, sorry, pause.
No, right.
I don't want to hear a different voice. PG, I'll come to you. What's your take on the comeback Kings, Manchester United?
I feel like sometimes it's not the best title to have, you know what I mean? Because it could be that situation where, imagine if you do go down, and I know it hasn't really been found out yet, but imagine you do go down and then you're like, oh yeah, we're going to have it in the second half, and then it just never happens. And I feel like if that happens, United are going to do what they've done a lot this season, where some games that they should be winning are just going to be draws, and that's what's going to cost them essentially challenging for the title next season. Because if you look at it now, if Man City continue on the way that they've kind of been going through a majority of this season, and Chelsea continue what they're doing since Tuchel's taken over, and then if Liverpool can somehow rebuild and regroup and put on a challenge, if Man United can't turn those points that they share against some of these smaller teams into big teams, into big points by getting wins, it's going to really affect them no matter how many times they try and come back against other teams. So I feel like, you know, it is what they do, but as we've seen, people like Bruno seem to be slowing down a little bit. He seems to only be getting penalties and whatnot. So you need to change the way you are. You need to say, you know what, we're going to go all out in the first half. We're going to secure the win in the first half if we can, rather than having to leave it into the second half. Because, you know, that's how a lot of players do get injured. Because if you're, you know, leaving it to play full intensity in the second half, instead of having to bring off players to rest them for important games, you're going to have to be going full throttle. And if you end up, you know, losing one or two key players, then you'll be looking at your season in the same way as Liverpool and be thinking, rah, where did we go wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. George, what's your take on the comeback Kings of Manchester?
It's all good and that it's going to work out maybe this season, but like PJ said, and maybe a few others, like in the long term, it's not sustainable. You can't keep relying on second half coming back, because in certain games, you're going to get stuck, and those are the games that are going to cost you the season. So, yeah, no, I think it's good that it's working now, and you guys have good subs to bring on for it to work. But yeah, no, next season it definitely needs to be a thing that needs to get fixed. You've got to start going to games with more energy, making sure you don't be making those mistakes early on, because it's been a thing that's been happening all season long. And still that's happening now, it means that it's not being worked on. So over pre-season and over into the new season, it's definitely something that only needs to be looking into a lot.
Yeah. Do you feel as if it's a mentality issue? I'm not sure why this is happening so consistently.
I wouldn't say mentality issue. I say it's a mentality strength.
I don't know, bro. I feel like it's a level of commitment in the first half that they need to take the chances. I don't know. They should have some sort of like, I don't know. Sometimes in first half, it's very flat. You know, some of the passes are not really that sharp. I feel like energy is sometimes what is lacking from this United team in the first half. In the Villa game today, they've had good chances, but they've had a very good Emi Martinez in goal as well. So,
yeah,
it's debatable. It's questionable. You know, it's 50-50 to me. I don't know why they feel to go out like that in the first half, because some games, other opponent teams can finish the first half with two or three goals, and then it will be a very hard task for United to come back from, you know. So I feel like they need to be very more, much more committed in the first half if they don't want to end up at some point being two or three behind in the first half, you know. So that's definitely something to be looking over for next season and to be addressed on, definitely, for Ollie.
Yeah. I'll go on to the next question. Will Ollie finally win a trophy? Will Manchester United win the Europa League? Paul, I'll go with you because you're the advocate for Ollie. And is Ollie finally doing it? Is he finally going to win his first trophy?
Yeah, we should win. We're better than Villarreal. If all our big players turn up, which they should do in the final, then I think we'll coast. We're going to win this final, man. By at least like 2 goals.
Yeah, Richard, what do you think? We coast in the final?
Yeah, we should be. Not only because we're better than Villarreal, but simply because we deserve it over a whole course of a season. We deserve to win at least something. I don't feel like a team that goes, I don't know, 25 away games unbeaten for a whole season should finish the season trophyless. Like, we've definitely deserved it. I think the players they've rolled their socks up. They put a lot of work in this season, yeah. So I feel like they definitely deserve to pick up a trophy, whatever it is.
Yeah, 100%. And the other football fans of the room, what do we think Manchester United's chances are of lifting the Europa League?
I think you guys are going to have it. It's going to be a hard game. I'd like to think you're going to have it wrapped up because it's just Villarreal, but it's also Unai Emery, who's like the Europa League king. He knows how to work that system. So in a cup final, you never know what can happen, but it should be a game that you guys should be winning and walking away from Europa League winners. But I mean, just a question to you United fans, how big is that to you? Because I know a lot of United fans don't care, but a lot do. So what's your thoughts?
I think it's just a trophy to shut up other fans, to be honest. Because right now, the only thing to Ole is he hasn't won a trophy.
Yeah, but Paul, my question to you in context of what you just said now, do you think it's enough for United to have just win the Europa League, just that over the course of 2 seasons for Ole?
No, but obviously you just try and win the competitions you're in, isn't it? That's the best we can do this season. So we just have to go out and try and win it.
Okay, because to me, potentially, if United, it should be a fairly easy game for United in that context of them winning the Europa League. But like George said, it's Unai Emery, you know, specialist of the Europa League. But I'd like to think United is going to win the Europa League. But again, you know, Emery 50-50. I'd like to see a very interesting final, whether it be a United win or not.
Yeah, just to kind of add, he's obviously not good enough, like a club of Man United stature, to obviously be competing for the Europa League, because we obviously should be competing for the Champions League and competing for the league. But I definitely feel it's as if he'll be a good stepping stone in terms of kind of shifting the process. Okay, we've won our next trophy, so what's our next target? The league, and then that's followed by the Champions League. So I definitely feel as if it'll be good for the players and the manager once they get that taste, and then we can move on to the next step. It can be almost like a springboard to that next trophy for me. So
based on the team that you've got, you should win the Europa League. But if you don't win it, questions need to be asked.
Oh, for sure.
Like, even Richard said it. Richard said that Man United deserve to win it. If you really deserve to win it, if you don't win it, questions need to be asked about your team and your manager.
Depends how we lose.
Nah, it doesn't even depend how you lose.
Bro, if we lose and we've missed like 100 chances, how are you going to put the blame on the manager for that?
Because it's a team game. That's on your manager and on your players.
Mate, Ole can't run on the pitch and score these goals.
Well, then he should.
And this is why it gets me so irate when people keep, like, when they're condemning Ole, they keep saying he's bottled this, he's bottled that. But, you know, when you take games in isolation and you look at the games like Seville and the games like PSG, players had guiltless chances. Like, Martial, we had chances against Seville. Like, you can't attribute all that blame to Ole. Like, as if you have to attribute that blame to the players.
Well, to counter that, I'll give the example of Chelsea. So what? At Chelsea, you've had the two managers, the same team. And even at the same time, everyone's been atting Werner for missing chances and whatever. Cool. And Chelsea have a systematic issue of missing chances, and that's plain to see by Chelsea fans and also others. And at the end of the day, yeah, you have to think about the system. If you do lose that final and it's based on missing chances, then you need to think about whether the system, whether the tactics is actually working for you guys.
I'd say that Chelsea team's better placed with the personnel that you have.
But that's what good personnel do to a team. So if you do, whichever way you lose this final, if you were to lose it, questions need to be asked on everybody responsible. That goes from top to bottom, from owners to players.
Fair enough.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Man United fans are quiet. Sorry.
They're going to win Europa League, and then we're going to win a league next season.
Well, you said and the words are recorded.
Ward, do you think that United would be classified as a team to be competing with the likes of City for next season?
Yeah, the players, absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
And Abdi, you've asked me this question 100 times.
I'd just like to re-understand and I want to hear it again so I can go back to next season now and look forward to it, you know?
So this is where I stand. If Oli gets his targets and he's not challenging City for the league, then moving on to the next guy. Simples.
I'm not even sure you'd be challenging
Richard
next season.
With me. Why are you not sure of that, Boaz?
I think at this very moment... Pardon?
Mm-hmm. For a team that's effectively solidified second spot, why don't you think we can challenge City?
Oh no, like congratulations for solidifying second spot season. Like,
yeah.
But I think next season is different. I think I've already identified that you do have issues going forwards, and as other people have mentioned, it's not sustainable going forwards. And unless those issues are fixed next season, then I definitely think that you'll be lying around fourth next season. So I do think, in my personal opinion, based on what I've seen, people challenging for the league will probably be Man City, Chelsea, and Liverpool. I think Liverpool will fix up.
And then Manchester United get their transfer targets and address those issues.
That's a big if, because from previous records, you guys failed to do that. You either acquire the wrong people, leave things to the last minute, or just don't pay fees. That's happened consistently. A consistent recruitment issue at Man United.
We've changed top to bottom.
How have you changed? You've got Darren Fletcher in the position of director of football or something. How have you changed?
Manchester United will be languishing in fourth next season.
Well, that's where I put my money on.
He's acting like our team's getting worse. I'm like, our team's...
Is it getting better?
Our team's constantly
getting better.
Look at the form of all our players. Like, a lot of these players are in the forms of their lives. Shaw, Pogba, Cavani, Greenwood would only get better. Rashford would only get better. I don't understand why you think we're actually going to have a worse season than the season we are this season.
No, but you know what it is? We got 70 points.
We're going to get more points next season.
Listen, I like to think United are missing this wow factor. Like, you know when you play United and you're like, wow, okay, them and are on stuff. Like, next season, that's what I want to see. But again, in terms of transfer targets, if they can manage to pay the fees that clubs are asking for and they are met, then why not? We'll see. But until then, it's going to be a long time rest next season, man.
You know what, yeah? You don't rate us anyway. Like, I don't know why we're listening to you. This year, you didn't even have us top four. A lot of you didn't even have a top.
Listen, let me stop right there, bro. Last season, you man were literally level points with us. Yeah?
Yeah.
This season, you're now second.
Mm.
We're literally competing at the Champions League level. We've made the FA Cup final now, and we're still fighting for the top four. I feel like we had a lot more to be doing against the likes of United.
With the squad that Chelsea have, you'd expect them to be in the top four minimum.
Okay, but you also expect the same team to be in the final of the Champions League.
What did you expect Man United to be in the final of a Champions League with the team you've got?
Well, with, no. with the games that you lot played, Man United would have
been... No question. Richard, can you answer the question which I asked? With the team that you've got, should you be in the Champions League final? Yes or no?
I think we can be, yeah.
Well, you're not there now.
Well, we can be.
But you're not there. So why do you...
We match all the top teams. We don't get flustered and beaten by some of the top teams that we've played before in the past. So,
no, but you faced Leipzig, RP Leipzig, and you had one job. You just needed to win. And you bottled it.
We beat them 5-0.
But you bottled it, and that's why you're out. So it's all well and good beating the best teams like PSG, Man City. But if you're struggling and bottling against easier, respectively to the teams, easier teams like Leicester, RP Leipzig, Istanbul, then you've got a systematic issue at Man United. But anyway, let's move on to the next topic.
If you're
bottling it at easier teams, like, okay, cool, Chelsea have faced easier teams in our run, but we beat them. You guys have faced easier teams and you've bottled it to them. So there's an issue. But anyway.
We had. That's all in the past. We have improved since then anyway.
Pardon?
I said we've improved a lot more. We've improved a lot since back then.
I never agreed. You have improved.
Yeah, we have. So what makes you feel like right now our team would still bottle those games against like Istanbul and Leipzig?
Well,
Richard, you'll have to find out next time you play them again, bro.
Come back to me when you got Europa League trophy, please.
Don't say that, because if Chelsea win this final, bro, that'll be our second CL, and you might got free Champions League. So behave yourself, bro.
I'm gonna
move on from this because we could be arguing about this all day. So let's move on straight to the player of the week. Who's everyone's player of the week? I'll start with you, Baz.
Why me?
You know what you want some time to think?
No, but like don't you want some Man United players in there? Don't you want like a Bruno Fernandes in there?
No, because that's just you just captain for no reason.
Cavani?
We'll throw a Werner in there just for shits and giggles.
I'll put Reece James there. That's my nomination.
I'll give mine to Eze, to be fair.
Who's that? Eze?
Yeah.
Jules, you got anyone different in mind that you think deserves to go into player of the week?
No, man. I think Eze, yeah.
You almost sound like a distraught Tottenham fan.
Yeah, there's no one in for Tottenham, and if I had someone for the Leeds team, I would have said
Bam. No son, best winger in the Premier League?
Not this week, he still managed to get a goal, you know. 17 Premier League goals, more goals than Bruno Fernandes. He's got 3.
Just step out of goals, isn't it? Not to play for just stats. Paul, do you think of anyone?
I think Callum Wilson.
Oh yeah, can we go into that?
Callum Wilson.
So, guys, is this the demise of Leicester part two?
But listen, remember what I was saying, man. Leicester third, Red Tenta, here we go.
I think you put a hex on it. I've called this already, man.
But
Leicester coming out of that tough four, guys.
The same to Leicester last season.
Say that again?
I said, we've done exactly the same to last season, to Leicester last season, so it's not really a big surprise.
Mm. I mean, we're throwing out the term bottle job. Should we start questioning Brendan Rodgers' bottle job mentalities?
Let's wait until the FA Cup final, and then I'll see if they're bottle jobs. Because
you're going to reserve judgment until
they need to beat Chelsea in that final.
Boys. No, but listen, no. Questions have to be asked, bro. They've been third for how long now? For weeks and months now, they've been third. Chilling in that spot for a very, very long time.
Same thing last season.
Absolutely. But in regards to this season, the question has to be asked because Newcastle, that game, they could have easily been 3-0 up at halftime.
Yeah.
Easy 3-0 up at halftime. So, you know, for it to be 4-2 in the end of a game, a good game for Newcastle, it shows you that, you know, having scored probably the last two goals in the last 10 minutes of the game, it shows you that, you know, they're lacking that bit of, you know, the edge. To trying to overcome a very, very long season for Leicester.
Yeah. When it matters the most, that's when they bottle it. But all right, Callum Wilson, got a fair shout. Put a brace against Leicester. PJ, what do you think, Callum Wilson?
Yeah, I'd say Callum Wilson, but also a special shout out to Adama Traore, man. Came off the bench and totally changed that game for Wolves when everything was looking bleak. But I would say Callum Wilson, definitely, man.
Yeah, that unanimous. I'm going to go Callum Wilson as the player of the week.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Cool. So we're going to wrap this one up. But yeah, don't forget to follow us on the socials. That's at The Brothers Chat on Twitter and Instagram. You can also listen to this on Apple and Spotify. So don't forget to subscribe. Peace.